The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Soita Daf Chof Dalet, and we are at the beginning of the new perek on the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, Perek Arusa, Zokti Mishnah. Arusa, v'sheimeres yavam, loy shoysois, v'loy noitlois ksuba. And Arusa and v'sheimeres yavam have in common that they're both somewhat married. However, their marriage hasn't been consummated. And Arusa had Erusin, also known as Kiddushin. She's married on many, many levels. The most notable exception to the marriage is that her and her husband are not living together. A Shemeres Yavam has a Zika. We said that even though there's machloikis throughout Masechtas Yavamis, Yesh Zika or Ein Zika, that's all on a Rabbanon level. But on the Deiraisa level, the Torah says, Loisiya Eishes Ameis Achutzel Ishzar. A Shemeres Yavam is not allowed to marry anybody. She has to sit around and wait to see whether the Yavam does either Yibam and Chalitza, and it's because of a Zika. It's because there's a bond between the two of them. So an Arusa and a Shemeres Yavam, that both are technically married on some level to their respective husbands, loy shoysois v'loy noitlois ksuba. So the halacha is that in the event that they're a safik soita, they couldn't drink from the meis soita, but at the same time, they are a safik soita in that the husband would have to divorce them. In the case of the Shemeres Yavam, du chalitza, and they would lose that on their ksuba as a result of the fact that they did stira despite the fact their husband had already warned them. Shenemar in the Makar to loy shoysois is that it says ashetista isha tachas isha, and we learn pratla arusa v'shemeres yavam. Rashi says the drasha is tachas isha b'yosheves tachta v'akosam adaber. When they're living together, it's only then that you have the parasha of soita. But to the extent that they're not living together, in that case, you don't have the parasha of soita. Stating that, you see loy noitleis tuba. So they do become a suffix soita. The kinoi and the stira is in effect, despite the fact that it says tachas isha b'yosheves tachta v'akosam adaber. Clearly, the way Rashi points out, the miut is only a miut in the drink of the Meisaita. So Tachas Isha tells me that she can't drink. She does, however, become a Safik Saita, as a result of which she would be excluded. She would at least become a Safik Saita. Another example of women that if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, now Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. If he marries an Almana, he's over a loy sasei in the Torah. It's a chayvi lavin, perhaps a chayvi asei as well. Grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyet, mamzeres v'nesim l'Yisrael, ubas l'Yisrael mamzer l'nasin, loy shoytzes v'leinaitlis ksuba. So this is the list that's always brought whenever in Shas you have a group of chayvi lavin. These are chayvi lavin, and being that they're chayvi lavin, loy shoytzes v'leinaitlis ksuba. Here the reason loy shoytzes v'leinaitlis ksuba is different. In the first group of people mentioned in the Mishnah, it was because of a drosha tachas isha, be a sheves tachta v'kosam adaber. Here the reason is, like Rashi points out, that being that these women are not ru'uya, they're not women that are allowed to live together with their husbands, is a halacha that the only time you have meisaita is if this couple is allowed to live together. But to the extent that there's an issue with their marriage, they can't live together. Loy shoysois. However, there is a suffix saita here. Loy noitlis ksuba. The elu loy shoysois for loy noitlis ksuba. A third example of women that are loy shoysois loy noitlis ksuba. Haimeres tmeani, a woman who says I'm tamei. So there was kinoi, there was stira, kubi. She's even in the makam hamikdash already, and she said tmeani. Or v'shabola edim she tmei. Or if edim came and said that she's tamei. Or she doesn't admit her guilt. She doesn't say tmeani, but she does say eni shaisa, which is her right. As we saw earlier in the Masechta, there is a point of time where even if she says eni shaisa, they're going to force her to drink. Or maybe once they brought the karban mincha. But it, to the extent, it's not at that point yet. If she says eni shaisa, or if she says tmeani, or edim come, the halacha is loy shoysa is for loy noitlis ksuba. Additionally, Amra baila ini mashka. What if the husband says I don't want to give it to drink? V'shabayla baala baderech, or if her husband was baala baderech, in that case she's not going to drink. However, noitlis ksuba, she will get her ksuba. And noitlis ksuba for loy shoysa is not going to. So the Mishnah gave three groups of examples of women that although they're married and although there was kinah v'stira, still they're not going to drink from the meisaita. And the reason it's divided into three groups is because the reason for the respective groups are all different. The first group was an Arusa v'Shemeres Yavam. She doesn't drink for the Meisaita because of a pasuk. The Gemara will elaborate on the drasha because it says Ashetista Isha Tachas Isha Tachas B'Yosheves Tachta V'Kosam Adaber. The second group was where husband and wife are not allowed to live together. There's a Chayvei Lavin relationship. That's a problem because it has to be a Ru'uya L'Kaima in order to have the halachas of Saita. And then finally, if a woman says I'm Tameya, or Edim say that she's Tameya, so naturally at that point she's not going to drink because now we know the truth. The whole purpose of drinking is for us to verify whether she's tamei or whether she's not tamei. But to the extent that she's saying tamei ani, or even if she only says ani shoyseh, at that point, that's enough of an admission that we're not going to allow her to drink. In the case where the husband was baal le'o baderech, or the husband is the one that decides, I don't want to give her to drink, she doesn't drink, because she needs a husband there being mashka her in order for her to be able to drink. But in that case, she won't lose her ksuba. Because meaning that she's not the cause for her not drinking, it's something that the husband did, at the very least, he'll at least have to pay up, he'll at least have to give the ksuba. Mesu balei, what if the husband dies? So the husband's not here to give her the naim hamorim, but it's not because of something that he did or something that she did. Simply, he died. So, if the husbands died before these women drank, so in that case, she's not going to drink, because if there's no husband, she can't drink. But at the same time, she's going to get her ksubo. Beisul says, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Either she drinks, or if she doesn't drink, then she ends up being in this state of safek saita, and a safek saita doesn't get ksuba. What if somebody marries a woman that's a mu'uberes, or a woman that was a meinekes? So this woman is obviously on her second marriage now. She was a mu'uberes from a previous marriage, thus mu'uberes chaveroi, or she's a meinekes from a previous marriage. The previous husband died, or maybe even he gave her a get. Now she wants to remarry, but she's either pregnant or she's a meinekes. So the halacha here too is, lo'y shoysois, v'lo'y noitlois ksuba divi rameyes. Rameyes says, same halacha. It's no different than the chayvi lavi. She wouldn't drink from the meis saita, she wouldn't get ksuba either. And the reason is because there's a halacha psuka. It's a sugya mesechtes yivamis perek achilas. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. We'll see a little bit about the halacha lemais in a moment. A man is not allowed to marry a pregnant woman, nor is he allowed to marry a woman that's a meinekes. Up until what point is she considered a meinekes? So at the times of Chazal, it was up to chaf dalet chodesh, up to 24 months. So 2 years after a woman is divorced, or after a woman had a baby, I'm sorry, she has the halachic status of a meinekes, and a meinekes is not allowed to get married. So in the event that this yid married a muberes or a meinekes, he wasn't supposed to. So if she became a safek saita, so you have the same halacha of loy shoysos, loy noitlis ksuba. This is divrei Rav Meir. The chachamim moimrim, here the chachamim argue. The chachamim say, yachalu lafrisho, ulachzir lachazman. Say the chachamim, this is different than the chayvi lavin. In the chayvi lavin, he wasn't allowed to marry her, and if he married her and gave her a get, he wouldn't be able to remarry her. This is a marriage that at some point we can make work. Right now she's a muberes. Okay, at the very least, you could separate or even give her a get and take her back when she's not a muberes anymore or when she's not a menekes anymore. So being that this is not an issue that can't be corrected, she doesn't have the halacha of a isha that's not ru'uya l'kaima, and therefore you wouldn't have this halacha of loy shoysos, loy noitlis ksuba. Ailanis uskeno, v'she'en real lele. What about a woman that can't have children? Loy noitlis ksuba v'loy shoysos. The halacha is she too didn't have ksuba. The halachas of Saita were only, and v'lo shoyses, because the halachas of Saita were only said with women that can have children. A woman that can't have children is excluded from the parish of Saita. Rabbi Loza imer yachol hu lisa isha acheres v'lifes v'lirbeis imer. Says Rabbi Loza, what would be the reason that there's no halachas of Saita with a woman that can't get married? There's only one reason. The reason is because you're not allowed to be married to a woman that can't have children. Because a man has an obligation to have children. And if he's married to a woman that can't have children, so he has no choice but to divorce her and marry somebody else. But says Rabbi Elazar, that's true today. But it wasn't always true. Once upon a time, pre-Cherem the Rabbeinu Gerashim, you could have two wives. So just because you're married to a woman that can't have children doesn't exclude you necessarily from being able to marry somebody else. And being that you can marry somebody else, so this woman that you're married to is not Eina Ru'uya L'kaima. So, therefore, she wouldn't be excluded from the halachas of Saita. What's pshat in the Chachamim? Why would the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar? They know that you can marry somebody else. So the posh of pshat is because it wasn't so easy to marry two wives. You had to get your wife to agree to bring another wife into the house. That's a halacha. She had to be meichel. You needed mechila. And if she didn't agree, it was something you weren't allowed to do. So I guess the Chachamim held that it's not as easily done as it is said, and it's for that reason we look at it as Eini Ruya L'kaima. That's going to be the issue. Eishes Koyin, the wife of a Koyin Shoysa, is allowed to drink Mei Saita. The Gemara explains what the Chiddush is. Muteres L'Baila, she's Mutter to her husband. Eishes Soris Shoysa. Again, the Gemara will explain. Al Yidei Kol Arayos Mekanen. A man who gives his wife Kinoi can warn her not to be with this fellow irregardless of who that person is. Even if that other person, that boyel, is a Kurev, he's an erva, it doesn't matter. Chutz min a katan. The only exception is a katan. So if Reuven and Rachel are married, and Reuven tells Rachel, al tisteri im ish pleni, but pleni is not an ish, he's really only a katan, then you would not have the halachas of kinyan stir. Umisha in a ish. Additionally, someone that's not an ish, the Gemara will say, what's the difference between someone that's not an ish and a katan? The ilush of Bezim mikan lohen, the following people, Bezdin will step in, and Bezdin will do the kinui on behalf of the husband. Misha nischarish baila, so a woman that was married, and her husband afterwards became a cherish. Now, if he was a cherish, he'd never be able to get married. So misha nischarish baila, right? That's the deal for the Mishnah. They were married. He later became a cherish. As a result, he can't do kinui. The assumption is that he's a cherish of Chazal, who's enoi shemeya ve'enoi medaber. He physically doesn't have an ability to do kinui. Bezdin will step in. Bezdin will do it for him. Or if he became a shaita. More practically, he's just not around. He was put away. Loyla Hashkaisam, who says the Mishnah, that although Bezdin could be Mekana, Bezdin can make her into a suffix shaita, but not to get her to drink the meisaita. For that, you need the husband. Bezdin can't do that on behalf of the husband. So what then are they doing? She's a suffix shaita, she loses her ksur. No, in one of these cases, anyways, it could even be Lashkaisam. In the case where the husband is the Beisas, so that is something that at some point may no longer be the case. His sentence will conclude. At that point, if there was a kinui that was done by Bezdin, he would be able to be mashker. So it's not necessarily true that every time Bezdin does the kinui, there won't be any shtia. It could be there will be a shtia. In the case where he's bebeis asurim, at that point, he'll be able to give her to drink. So before we start the Gemara, so just two ha'aras on the Mishnah. The first ha'ar is, the Mishnah listed as one of the examples of a suffix soita that's loy shoysa is loy noitlis ksuba. In fact, in the Mishnah, it's a machloik is remeir in the chachomim, is if somebody marries uberes chaveroi, umeinekes chaveroi. So Rashi says, uberes chaveroi is very straightforward. A man's not allowed to marry a pregnant woman. That's a halacha. Meinekes chaveroi means up to 2 years, 24 months from when a woman was married. The halacha is, says Rashi, she's not allowed to get married. So if somebody marries this woman, that's where you have this halacha of loy shoyseis for loy neitlis ksub according to Rameir. The Chachamim say that this is not a regular isha sheni roi l'kaima because after 2 years, it's not going to be a problem anymore. So you can either walk away or you could divorce her, remarry her. That's a discussion in the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. But either way, there's hope for this marriage. It's not something that has no way to repair. Now, this idea that a meinekes is not allowed to get married is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's an Evan Ezer, Simen Yud Gimel, Sivkot Yud Aleph. Gozru Chachamim, Shlo Yisa Adam, V'lo Yekadesh Me'uberes Chaveroi, V'lo Yimeinekes Chaveroi. So it's a Gozru Chachamim, it's not a Dindai Reis, it's a Dindai Rabbanon that a man is not allowed to marry a Me'uberes or a Meinekes. At what point is he allowed to? Ad Shiyel Levlad Choftal Chadosh. When the child is 24 months old, at that point you're allowed to. But up until 24 months, you're not allowed to. This is Halacha Psukah in Shulchan Aruch. So a woman that had a baby, 20, and then she got divorced, or she became an almana, she's not allowed to get married until her child is 2 years old. Until she's 2 years old, Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, she cannot get married. It's interesting that Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, brings a chiddush from the Chochma Shloima. It's an Evan Ezer, Chelik Beis, Simentes. He brings that Rav Shloima Kluger said a chiddush. His chiddush was that although in the times of Chazal, and this is a halacha that's brought down many times in Shas, a meinekes was considered a meinekes up to Chof Dalet Chiddush, that was only in the times of Chazal, where there were women that actually nursed their children up until the child was 2 years old. But today, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, in his times, it was unheard of that a mother would nurse her child up until the child was two. In his times, he heard that women, for the most part, stop nursing when the child is 18 months old. And being that at 18 months old, they stop nursing the child, the mother does not have a din of a meinekes once the child is 18 months old. And as it relates to this halacha in Evan Ezer, once the child is 18 months old, this woman would be allowed to get married. Says Shlomo Kluger, you can ask me a kasha, a very nice svara, and based on my svara of the change of mitzias surveys that he did, it comes out women don't nurse anymore till they're 24 months, it's only 18 months, but could you change a halacha? Because a svara change, we know the rule is, ein bezden yochel avatol divrei bezden chaveroi, elim ken godol mimeno v'chachol v'minyin. Anytime bezden makes a takana, that's a dover sheb minyin, you're not allowed to change it, and even if it's batal atam, like batal adin, halacha doesn't change. So Reb Shlomo Kluger asks on himself, how do I have a right to change the halacha based on the shinui mitzvos? If the chachamim made a takana chav da al chaydish, it was a davar shev minyan. There's no bezdin bezman hazeh that could be mevatol divrei bezdin chaveray. So based on that, the halacha should always have to be 24 months, irregardless of the fact that the mitzvah says Reb Shlomo Kluger a big chiddush that it's true there's a halacha that bezdin can't change something that a previous bezdin did because of davar shev minyan. But that's only if you're completely abolishing the takana that the previous bezdin made. But if you're not going to abolish the takana, all you're doing is tweaking it, you're changing it, you're altering it a little bit, says Reb Shlomo Kluger, chiddush, it's not going to be a problem. And he has a raya to his yisoid. His raya is a toisvis in Masechtas Megillah, daf hei amid ba'ez, tucked away. The Gemara over there says that Rebbe wanted to be oikir Tisha B'Av. He wanted to be oikir Tisha B'Av. And the chacham didn't agree. They weren't happy with what he wanted to do. So Tosef says, "Kasha, hechisol gadaitoch. The high time. How in the world is it possible that Rebbe wanted to be oikir Tisha B'Av? What's the kasha? Ha'ein bezin yochel avatol divrei bezin chaveiro elam kin gadol b'menu b'chacham b'minyan. Rebbe could have had the greatest reason in the world to abolish this. He certainly did. He didn't do it because of efkeris. He obviously had a good reason that he wanted to do it, but." It doesn't matter. This halacha was a davar shev minyan. And once the chachamim made a takana of Tisha B'Av, how could Rebbe have been mevatel? It says Tosfos v'yesh loy mar d'lei rotza lo oikra. He didn't want to be oikra. Ela michumra sheyesh ba yosef mishar tainias. He didn't want that Tisha B'Av should be more chomer than a regular tainas. Every tainas is chomer. Tisha B'Av is more chomer. He wanted that Tisha B'Av should be like a regular tainas. That's all he wanted to do. I mean that's all he wanted to do. That's not called in bezden yochel avatel divrei bezden chaveira. Inami another teretz yesh loy mar d'rotza la'ak. He wanted to change it from Tes B'Av until Yud B'Av, based on the Gemara and then the Masechtas Tainis, where Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ilu Avoy Hasam." And I've been there. I would have said that it shouldn't be Tisha B'Av; it should be Yud B'Av, because the Ikas Reifus based on Mikdash happened on Yud B'Av. We actually spoke about this once in Chas Chinuch, and this Gishmak read on this Tosfos. But that's what Tosfos says. It wasn't Ein Bezin Yochel Avatol Divrei Bezin Chaveiroi, because he didn't want to change the Takana; just wanted to tweak it. Says Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, it's a Mefurish Tosfos, that if you're not actually altering the halacha, all you're doing is tweaking it, you're not abolishing it. In that case, you don't run into issues of Ein Bezin Yochel Avatol Divrei Bezin Chaveiroi. So he said, I don't have a problem changing it from 24 months to 18 months. Rav Moshe brings this tshuva, this psak halacha from Shlomo Kluger, and he says that his son, Bni Harav HaGoyin Rav David Shlita, that's Rav David Feinstein, asked Akasha on Rav Shlomo Kluger from a Gemara right in the beginning of Masechtas Megillah. So this battleground is all the first few blood of Masechtas Megillah. Megillah da Beis Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says, Megillah Nikras, Biyud Aleph, Biyud Beis, Biyud Gimel, Biyud Al, Betes Vav. And the Gemara asks Akasha that if you look in the Megillah, it says, when are you really supposed to lay in the Megillah? Biyud Al, Betes Vav. The Anshek Nesus HaGoyim, they made a takana that it's not just going to be Yud Aleph Tezvav. We're going to add Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Freak thing, how can you do that? Ein Bezin Yochel Levatel Divrei Bezin Chaveiroi Elam Kein Gadol Imenu B'Chachma V'Minyan. And the Gemara needs psukim, drushes of why they were allowed to do it. Freak Reb David, I don't understand. According to Reb Shlomo Kluger's Yisoid, it shouldn't be a problem because they're not being mevatel the takana. They're just adding to it. They're saying, in addition to Yud Aleph and Tezvav being eligible days for Mikra Megillah, you have Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. That was Reb David's kasha on this Yisoid of Reb Shlomo Kluger. Moshe has another kasha, a geshmaka kasha from a Gemara of Edozora, in Kamakoymai. The bottom line is, says Rab Moshe, I agree with the psak halacha of Rab Shlomo Kluger, however, lab mitameh. I don't agree with his chiddush that if you're only tweaking a takana, you're not being mevatel the takana, that shouldn't be the halacha. Rab Moshe argues with that, you say Rab Shlomo Kluger. He says, however, the halacha I do agree with, that bizman has 18 months, it doesn't have to be 24 months. Why? So Rab Moshe says a different reason. His reason is because when the Chachamim made the takana that a meinekes is not allowed to get married, they never said 24 months. They don't care about 24 months. They said a meinekes is not allowed to get married. And as long as she's a meinekes, now what's the definition of a meinekes? I don't know. Go find out. See what people do. Once upon a time, it was 24 months. Rav Moshe says, now he hears it's still 18 months. Incidentally, Rav Moshe acknowledged that in his times, most women did not nurse their children up until 18 months. However, you have to be chayish l'miyuta. So he says that based on the miut of people that do up to 18 months, he would say 18 months is actually a good number. He's comfortable with Shlomo Kluger's number. However, lav mitameh. According to Shlomo Kluger, it's because you're only tweaking it, you're not abolishing it. According to Moshe, because that was never the takana. The takana was never chafta al chaydish. The takana was that a meinekes shouldn't get married. I mean, the takana was that a meinekes should never get married. That has no bearings on the time. So if The zmanim changed, the mitzias changed, you have no problem changing that. What's the bottom line? As Rav Moshe says, this psak halacha, I'm sure the place can work with this, is that likatchila 21 months, 18 plus an additional 3 months, based on a sugya in Yevamos Daf Mem Beis, b'di'eved, the number would be 18 months. That's the first aura. The second aura is, we had in the Mishnah said that an islandess, Vizkena, Vishaina Rio Leila. These are all women that physically cannot have children. Loy Noitlis Ksuba Vlay Shaisis. Rabbi Lazar said, Yachalulis Isha Kharsa. What would be the reason they shouldn't get Ksuba? Because again, or they shouldn't be able to drink, because they're Noshim Shaina Rio Lakaimon. A man has an obligation to have children. He has a mitzvah pruravu. You can't be Makai and pruravu with this woman. It's inevitable you have no choice but to marry somebody else. Thus, they're like the chayvi lavin, like the muberis, like the menakis. So that's why they fall into this category. Rabbi Lazar said, it's not true. Pre-chayim to Rabbi Nergeshin, you can take another wife. It's not going to be an issue. I saw an interesting ha'ara. The Sha'ara Mitzion Balacha brings a ha'ara from the Tzemach Tzedek, who asked, why didn't the Mishnah mention also an akara? The Mishnah says an islandess, a isha that's not ru'uya leilid or skena. These are women that scientifically, physically cannot have children. What about an akara? That's a woman that can have children. She just hasn't had children. For example, the Mishnah says in Masechet Yevamot, said a man and a woman are married for 10 years and they didn't have any children. So the halacha is, he has to either give her a get or pre-chem the Rabbeinu Gershom, marry somebody else. Because he has a mitzvah puruvu, and once 10 years pass and there was no children, so obviously she's an akara. If she's an akara, so then you have to deal with it. So, Frank, the Tzemach Tzedek, why didn't the Mishnah add to this list a man and a woman that were married for 10 years? She didn't have any children. You can have the same halach. It sounds like only women that physically can have children. But if 10 years pass, there's some sort of chazaka that she's an akara, that she can't have children, if it impacts the halacha and we say that he has to give her a get, then how come in the context of Safik Soita don't we have the halacha of Loi Shoisois? So he says that the Tzemach Tzedek said that you see from here that although it's true a man would have to divorce this woman, but being that she physically can have children. No doctor ever said she can have children. So being that that's the case, so she doesn't fall into this gather of Isha She'ena Ruy L'Kaima, and even though he's mechuyev to give her a get, she's not an Isha She'ena Ruy L'Kaima. So it's an interesting gather, but that's what the Tzemach Tzedek says. Shaar Mitzvah Balach himself has a very nice sushtal to that. He's mitzayin in the Mukhe Yosef in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos, where the halacha is that there's no yibum with an islandess. Because an islandess, Asha Teleid, she has to be able to have children. Islandess can't have children. Zokti in the Mukhe Yosef, an akara is not an islandess. You don't find anywhere there's no yibum by an akara. An islandess, there's no yibum. But an akara, not. Says the Mukhi Yosef, why? Because although akaris, there are some chazokas, etc., that she can't have children, but we've heard over the ages, women who couldn't have children, and they had yeshuas, and they ended up, yes, having children. Hashem is someone, Hashem pakad us, as Chana, as Sarah. We find that Hashem saved, brought yeshuas to akaris. I bring that he brought yeshuas to akaris, we don't treat the akaris the same way we treat the islandess. By an islandess, there's no yibum. By an akaris, there's going to be yibum. That's the sushal to this Mishnah. We can't view her as a woman that's ena ru'uy l'kaima. This is something that's very relevant to this week's parsha. Last week's parsha, you have the imois. The imois were all akaras. In this week's parsha, we have Rachel. Rachel was an akara. So Leah is having children, and even the shvachis are having, the imois are having children, but Rachel didn't have children. And it comes to the breaking point where Rachel comes into her husband Yaakov, and she says, "Vatoymer el Yaakov, vatera Rachel ki lo yolda li Yaakov, vatakane Rachel b'chisa." Rachel was jealous from her sister. Vatoymer el Yaakov, she said, "Havali banim, I want children. Ve'im ayin, and if you don't give me children, meisa noichi, I'm ready to die." Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov got really angry at Rachel. Vayoymer, and he said, "Asachas alekim noichi, what am I? B'makim Hashem, Hashemona mimech pribatem. What do you want from me? I'm not the reason you're not having children. And being that I'm not the reason you're not having children, I'm not sure what you want from me." So, two ha'aras, little chumash teira. Number one, Rav Zalman Tziratzkin does nine l'teiras. What was the havamina? What was Rachel even thinking? That Yaakov was somehow responsible for the fact that she couldn't have children? So Rav Zalman Tziratzkin says, Rashi says in Parashas Bereishis, that in the olden days, there were men that would marry two wives. One wife was for children, and the other one was for tashmish. The one that was for children would be the less good-looking one. The one that was Latashmish would be the better-looking one. Chazal say, the Torah says that Rachel was beautiful. Ve'ene Leah rakos. Leah, not as much. Rachel was choshed Yaakov, that Yaakov was doing what the minigah anoshim was. Leah, he's going to have children with. But Rachel, he doesn't want to have children with Rachel. So he's going out of his way to make sure that Rachel doesn't have children without her knowing. That's what Rachel suspected. And that's why Rachel walked into Yaakov. Havali banim, what are you doing? You're doing kiminiga anashim? Is that what you're doing? And Yaakov said, Chas v'sholom, atachas alekimanoich. Of course, that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to have children. And that was why, but that was Rachel's taina when Rachel came to Yaakov and Rachel said, Havali banim. That's ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two is you do with the Mesilas Yesharim. In the beginning of Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, where the Mesilas Yesharim says that the Medrash, quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash says that Hashem had tainas on Yaakov for getting angry at Rachel. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Rachel comes storming into Yaakov, Havali banim. Yaakov says, what do you want from me? Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Says the Medrash, Hashem got angry at Yaakov, and the Lashon HaMedrash is, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach oinim es hama'uka, is this the way you talk to somebody that's in painting? And the Mesilas Yesharim points out from here that you see how Hashem is medaktik with the tzaddikim. But what was the point that Yaakov was told? You're right, Rachel's wrong for what she said. And Rachel should not be accusing you because hatachas alegimenoichi, which is what Yaakov's tain is. But at the same time, you understand why she's saying what she's saying. She's saying what she's saying because she's coming from a place of pain. Because she's bitzar. She sees her sister has children. She can't have any children. This is human emotions working. And even if she's wrong, you have to be sensitive to her human emotions. This is how you talk to somebody that's bitzar. This is how you talk to somebody that's in pain. An important lesson that you learn from this story. And I think the final lesson that you could take from this, which is very simple, is that Rachel was an akara. Rachel couldn't have children. And her situation seemed very dire. But Yeshua's Hashem Karefayim, she ends up having children. Not only children, Yosef and Binyamin, and she has Nachas from Reinekoch, Ephraim and Manasha, Keruvim and Shimon Yerli, and that's really the story of the Emois. They all had a difficult time initially, and the situation seemed very bleak, and it was very dark, and it looked really, really bad. But ultimately, it played out. Ultimately, Klal Yisrael came from these women who davened and a situation where things didn't go easy. So good things come hard, better things sometimes come even harder. And that's just the reality. And that's the story of the Emois being Akaras. But it's interesting how it plays itself out in Halacha, where the Nemuki Yosef says, there's Yibaman an Akara. And even though there are Halachas that once a woman's an Akara, you have to give her a get because of the Mitzvah's Puravu. But Matzinu Vishamanu over the years where there were Akaras that were Nifka, Vashem Pakar Asar, etc. And it's for that reason in Halacha L'maisa, it's something that's going to play itself out. One other interesting thing that just came to mind, and that is the Meshech Chachma. Meir Simcha says, why are women not mitzvah in Puravu? So it's learned out from a pasuk. A man has a mitzvah to have children. A woman doesn't have a mitzvah to have children. So we always speak out, Meir Simcha and Parshas Noach, who says the reason is because the Torah is derecher darchinayim. And the Torah doesn't make someone do something that's cruel and unusual. For a woman to have children, it's the Second Amendment. It would be too difficult. It's cruel and unusual. It's hard for her. A man to have children, ishkeferlich. But a woman, she has to raise the children, she has to feed the children. She does 98.7% of the work at home. And being that she's doing most of the work at home, it's for that reason that it would be unfair. It would go against the Rachel Darchei Noyam for the Torah to tell a woman to have children. A ha'ara nifla for a Meir Simcha. Parashas Noach. But it gives a second reason. The second reason is because there's a halacha that if a couple are married for 10 years and they don't have children, so what do? You have to find someone else to have children with. A man has an option. His option, at least in the pre-Chaimed Rabbeinu Gershom world, is you can find another wife. A woman can't marry two husbands. So if a woman would have a mitzvah peruvu, just like the man would have an issue, the woman would have an issue. She couldn't bring in another husband, so what she would need to do then is she would have to leave her husband. It's not darkei noyam to tell a couple that are married for 10 years to now suddenly part ways and go do your own thing. You're invested emotionally 10 years into a marriage. You're going to tell them to suddenly walk away? That's not fair. The husband doesn't have to do that. You could always take another wife. A woman wouldn't have that option. So it's because of this sif katan in Hilchos Puravu that if you marry 10 years without children, you have to part ways. That's something that would be unfair for the woman. Again, it's all on the theme of the Recher Darchinayam. This is classic Meshech Chachma, why there's no mitzvah Puravu for a woman. Zokta Gemara. So the Mishnah said, Arusa v'shemeres yavam, loy shoysois, v'loy noitlois ksubas. Says the Gemara, Mishnah hudalei shas. It's clear from the Mishnah that they only don't drink. Hakinoi Mekanila. It sounds like, however, there is kinoi. So they're not excluded entirely from the parish of Saita. They just don't drink from the May Saita. Minani Mili the Tonu Rabbana. Dabra Bnei Yisrael via Marta Aleim. In the beginning of parish of Saita, it says Dabra Bnei Yisrael via Marta. Via Marta is a riboy. It's coming to be Marba le Rabbis Arusa Vishemeres Yovam le Kinoi. Umasnisa Mani says the Gemara. Who is the Tana? The Mishnah Rabbi Yonasan. It's Rabbi Yonasan. Tani Vilantin Abraiso. Tachas Ishech. It says again, Zois Teres Hakinois. Ashatista Isha Tachas Isha Vinitma, and we learn from there. Actually, it's a pasuk. It's a previous pasuk. Vim loisa tis tuma tas tachas ishech. So it says tachas ishech prat la rusa. A rusa is not called tachas ishech because we said they're not living together. Yeshev es tachtov. Yochel shani moitzi af shemeres yavam. I would have thought we should exclude the shemeres yavam as well. Talmud loimar ish is a ribui. Divi Rav Yoshe. So you have to know how to work these drushes, but Rav Yoshia says tachas ishech prat la rusa. Ish the rabbis shemeres yavam. Rav Yenisa noimer tachas ishech prat. I would think we should only be memayit a shemeres yavam and not be moitzin as an arusa. That's the pasuk that the Mishnah brought. Prat la arusa. So our Mishnah that says both an arusa and a shemeres yavam are excluded from drinking in the meisaita is going according to Rav Yoinasa. Rav Yoshe in this brisa argues. Rav Yoshe says in the brisa that only an arusa is excluded, but a shemeres yavam is not excluded. Now, in addition to the machlokes in halacha between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshia, that's very straightforward. Whether a shemeres yavam is excluded from saita or is not excluded from saita, you see that there's a more fundamental difference in understanding an arusa versus a shemeres yavam between Rabbi Yeshia and Rabbi Yehuda as well. Because Rabbi Yeshia said that we exclude the arusa. Rabbi Yonasan said we exclude the arusa and the shemeres yavam, but what was the first thing he excluded? Prat le shemeres yavam. Oitzi shemeres yavam v'loy oitzi es arusa. Says I have another drasha to exclude the arusa. So number one, you have the machlokes in din whether shemeres yavam is excluded. That's easy. Additionally, who's more excludable? Who would you exclude first? If you could exclude one person, who would it be? Would it be the arusa or would it be the shemeres yavam? Rabbi Yoshia, who has only one miyut, was memayit the arusa. Rav Yonasan had two miyutim, so ultimately he was memayit the arusa and the shemeres yavam, but he was memayit first the shemeres yavam. So it sounds like in Rabbi Yoshia's world, it's more easy to be memayit the arusa. In Rav Yonasan's world, it's more easy to be memayit the shemeres yavam. What's that machlokes talian? Says the Gemara, mara limalei arusa. One mandamer thought that an arusa is more married than the shemeres yavam. The kedusha didei. Number one, the husband himself is the one that initiated this marriage. V'saiklan ayadai. Additionally, if she's mezana tachtav, she's going to get misas bezdin. Naira murasa is skila. Saiklan ayadai. Umar, the other man, Omar, felt that yibum, the shemeres yavam, is more married because shemeres yavam, alimalei shemeres yavam, delay mechstra mesir l'chuppah. Because she needs less. Because in order to consummate the deal, she doesn't need a chuppah, she doesn't need a whole fancy wedding. All she needs is yavam yavay aleh, and it's going to be a done deal. As opposed to that arusa, needs much more than that. She needs an nisuin. So on the one hand, the arusa has more right now. On the other hand, it sounds like the shemeres yavam needs less. So mara limalei. It could be this machloikis is totally in the age-old shaila of quality versus quantity in halacha. Reiv ha'echos versus reiv ha'kamos. It sounds like the arusa is reiv ha'echos. Qualitatively, there's a stronger bond over here. Soiklin al yada. Kedusha didei. The shemeres yavam has a less or marriage from a qualitative perspective, because somebody's mezana with her, for example, they're not going to get skila. Ain't cycling al yada. But quantitatively, it sounds like there's more. There's a reva kamos, because you need less in order to complete the deal. The arusa needs a whole chuppah. She doesn't need a chuppah. All she needs is a yavama yavayala. So it could be Rabbi Yitzchak Engel talks about this in his svarim. Reva echos versus reva kamos, and he makes half a shas tali in the shayla. So it could be you could throw this in as well. Is this a reva echos, reva kamos shayla? The shemeres yavam seems to have more kamos. That's the Gemara Svara, because you need less to finish the deal. So if you need less to finish the deal, obviously you have more in Hilchas Kamos. But from an Echos perspective, ain't Soiklin al Yada, as opposed to that Rusa, that is Soiklin al Yada. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan, hai ish my avale. So Rabbi Yeshia was only memayit the Arusa, was married with the Shemeres Yavam, because it says ish. All right, so what does Rabbi Yonasan do with ish? Miboyle le rabbis ishes cheresh, the ishes shoita, the ishes shiamum. That's a type of shoita. Rabbi Yeshia, hai tacha. What is Rabbi Yoshia going to do with the miyut of Tachas Isha? He wasn't memai two things, he was only memai one. What are you going to do with Tachas Isha? Miboyle lahakish ish leisha, the isha leish. The Gemara Rashi says we'll explain what that drosha means. Says the Gemara, Ela time it looks to be hani kroy. So we have here psukim, why an arusa doesn't drink from the Meisaita. It's learned that all from Sukkim. Now, where they're not the Psukkim, I would have thought that the Arusa drinks. So the Gemara says, I have a technical problem. What's the technical problem? It says in the parish of Saita, the words, mi balade ishech. And we learn from there, mi shekodma shchivaz balabayo. V'lo shekodma shchivaz balaba. That the only time you have halacha of Saita is if this woman was first with her husband and only afterwards with the boy. But if she has never been with her husband, she's only been with the boil, it was kodma shchivas boil baal, at that point there's no saita. So what's the kasha? How could there even be a havamina that there should be a parasha drinking from the mei saita by an arusa? And the Gemara will ask the same kasha about a shomer siyavim in a moment. How could there even be such a havamina to have it by an arusa? Arusa, there was no bia. And if there was no bia, it wasn't kodma shchivas baal the boil. You don't have me balade ishech. Says the Gemara, no, it's possible. Omer rami bar choma, mishkachas lakugancha baala, oris mevesa via. Maybe there was a bia. Now, it was wrong. It wasn't supposed to be that way. Maybe it was in Yehuda. Those were places where it was actually encouraged. We spoke about it not long ago on a Sunday morning daf because of the tibor lehegmen tchila, etc. But it's something that's possible. I mean, that it's possible, that would be the hechi timtza. But the Gemara asks, the kavasa gabi shemeres yov. Shemeres yov, we're going to have the same kasha. You need that it should be kodma shchivas baal boil. And if she's a shemeres yov, it means there was no yibum yet. The kasha is, what would be that example of where you have shchivas baal before the boil? Is it going to be the same case where the yavam was there before the boil was? Shemeres yavam karisla. Then she's not a shemeres yavam because ishtei ma'al yasehi. At that point, she's a regular wife. The Amar Rav, because Rav said kana l'koil, that once there's a bia between the yavam and the yavama, even if it wasn't done l'shem yibum, it was done for some ulterior reason, such as l'shem znus, like presumably was done in this case, still it's a full-fledged yibum. Aba yivimtei b'shoigi b'mezit ba'inus b'ratzen, kana, machlik is Rav and Shmuel. Kana l'koil, it's like a full-fledged yibum, or it's only kana for certain things. Rav says kana l'koil. So it says, according to Rav, that it's kana l'koil, so you have aba yivimtei, even if it was b'mezit, which means l'shem znus. That's what Rashi says in the Mishnah, in Berak aba yivimtei. It doesn't matter. L'mai said there was a yibum over here. So how could you ever have baal before the boil? The case would be where there was a beer. Once there's a beer, then it's ishtei l'chol davar. She's not a shemeres yavam anymore. Says the Gemara, kishmul. You have to say that it's going according to Shmuel. The Amar loikana el l'dvarim hamur b'parsha. Incidentally, when we learned Yevamis daf nun ches, we spoke at a lot of nice rate. If you want, it's the last 10 minutes of Yevamis daf nun ches amud aleph. We spoke at there's a Reb Kedegas kasha, maybe the Behudas kasha. Beautiful Torah from the Minchas Chinuch. There's a lot of geshmaki yeshiva shereid. It's more Yevamis thing. Gets into some of the hardcore alumnus of Masechtas Yevamis, but there's really nice Torah over here on this Gemara. Let's just finish the Gemara quickly. We'll get back to it tomorrow, and as promised, we'll speak out a little. So says the Gemara, Lemer Rav to Amar Krav Yeshia, Vishmul to Amar Krav Yeshia. And in the Cheshbin that we just said, should have come out that Rav only works with Krav Yeshia, and Shmuel holds like Krav Yeshia. This machloik is Rav and Shmuel's really machloik is Tanam. Amar Lach Rav, Anod Amri Afilu Krav Yeshia, Mid Itzrich Krolle Me'uta, Mechal De Ishtem Al Yasehi, Vishmul Amar, Anod Amri Afilu Krav Yeshia, Mid Itzrich Krolle Rebuye, Mechal De Lav Ishtehi Klav. Okay, so we'll just pause it over here for a moment. We had earlier in the week, we had the Gemara in Daf Chav Beis, Daf Chav Aleph Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there was discussing the halacha of Kiner Mitzvah, not halacha, a drush of Kiner Mitzvah of the Torah Ar, and the Gemara said, two pshatim, and why mitzvah is compared to a ner, and Torah is compared to an ar. The second pshat was, Aveira Mechaba Mitzvah, Ve'in Aveira Mechaba Torah. And the Gemara quoted a pasuk. The pasuk that was quoted was, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechaba Yisus Ahava. That Torah is referred to as Ahava, and all the water in the world can't be Mechaba, can't extinguish the Ahava. This is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. We mentioned that pasuk of Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechaba Yisus Ahava. So fast forward to the end of the pasuk, and Mitein Ishes Kol Hoim Beisei Ba'ahava, Ba'iz Yivuzulei. If a person will give all his money, Ba'ahava, for Torah, he's wasting his money. So what's that referring to, says the Gemara? It's referring to two brothers who tried doing a partnership, and had they gone forward with it, Bezivuzulay, they would have blown all their money. Or he would have blown his money. And who is that? Shevna and Hillel. Shevna was the Baal HaBas. He made a lot of money. Hillel was very good at what he did. He was the great Hillel HaZakin. He learned Torah. Shevna comes to Hillel, after Hillel is the Zakin v'yoshev v'yeshiva for many, many years. He says, why don't we do a deal together? Why don't you give me half of your Torah, and I'll give you... Hillel didn't agree to the deal. But even had Hillel agreed to the deal, say Chazal, Yotzabasko, Bezio Vuzaloy, he would have been wasting his money, because it's too late. And the way Rashi, and it's before in the Gemara, explains, is that had he gone over to Hillel before Hillel started learning and said, let's make a deal, then it could be the deal would have worked. But being that he came, it was already already a day late and a dollar short. At this point, you couldn't do it, and therefore, boys, yavuzu loy. This Gemara right here is the makar to the well-known Yisachar Zvulun partnership. That there's a concept that somebody, Zvulun, can go over to Yisachar, the proverbial Zvulun can go over to the proverbial Yisachar, and he can make a deal. You sit and learn, I work, why don't I give you money, and we'll split. I'll give you some of my money, you'll give me some of your Torah, and let's go ahead and do it. In fact, it's a halacha psukah in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down, it's the first halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's in Reish Mem Vav in Yerideya. The Mechaber says, Kol Ish Yisrael Chai B'Talmud Torah. Everyone has an obligation to learn Torah. Bein Ani, Bein Asher, Bein Shalim, Bein Gufim, Bein Bal Yisroel, Bein Bachar, Bein Zachin Gadol. Afilu Ani HaMechazer Al HaPsachim. This is the well-known Lashon HaRambam. Afilu Balisha, even who's the biggest person who has the most terror, that's even the man who's married and has children. After all the people mentioned, even him, chayev lekvayel ezman l'tamu teret b'yoyim u'v'layla shenemer v'gitzim b'yoyim u'v'layla. Umishi, actually, a little. Let's say somebody can't. It's just not possible. Mipnei she'en yodeya klal l'moyer, incidentally. It's because he doesn't know how to, or because he has some sort of tirdis. Yasbik l'acher ma'loimdim. What he should do at the very least is he should support, help other people learn Torah. Says the Ramah, v'techashev l'kilu le'me v'atzmai. By doing that, it'll be considered as if you yourself are learning Torah. Continues the Ramah. This is the punchline. V'yachol adam lahasis im chaveiroi. A person can make a deal with his friend. Shehu yasik b'tayra. Let him learn Torah. V'yamtzilei parnasa. You learn, I'll give you parnasa. V'yachlik imay b'schar. They'll divide all this. They divide the money and they divide the schar ulam haba that Yisach is going to get. Avalim kfar os. But if Yisachar already learned, at that point, it's too late. What's the makar to this? Ramah, the makar is Mesechtes Leit, our Gemara. This Gemara, right, it's not our Gemara anymore, it was our Gemara a few days ago. But the Gemara that discusses the two types of Yisachar's Vulun partnerships, if they do it, Kaidim HaMais, it works. If they do it, Lachar HaMais, Shevna, and Hillel, at that point, it's already going to be too late. So there's a lot of nice halacha and drush, agada, when it comes to Yisachar's Vulun. But really, from a halacha l'maisa perspective, the address to discuss these halachas is Ramosha Feinstein, as it so often is in Igros Moshe. This is actually one of the newer volumes of Chelek Ches. The tshuva was written in 1982. It's a very long tshuva. I'm not sure if it's one tshuva or it's a compilation of many tshuvas. But either way, it's a very, very, very long discussion that Rav Moshe has regarding the Yisachar Zvulun partnerships. There's just two interesting things that I saw in Rav Moshe's tshuva. Number one, Rav Moshe keeps on hammering home the same thing. Yisachar Zvulun works, but it's not Mihilchas Staka. This is not a Hilchas Staka de Galacha. And Rav Moshe says, interestingly, you don't find anywhere that Yisachar was ani. He was poor. You don't even find anywhere that Zvulun could be Yoitzes Mitzvah Staka by giving Yisachar money. Who said he was poor? To the contrary, if you look in the Birchas Yaakov, he got land in Eretz Yisrael, just like Zvulun got land in Eretz Yisrael. And to the contrary, he thinks that the arrangement probably was, Zvulun, you'll manage my assets. Meaning, I have, so Zvulun was a money manager too. You're going to manage what my estate, my assets. You'll work, I'll sit and learn Torah, we'll have some sort of deal. He said it was a business partnership. That's what it was. And he says, Puk Chazi, where does the Mechaber bring this halacha? It doesn't mean in Hilchas Staka. It's the first halacha in Hilchas Talmud Torah. It's a Talmud Torah diga halacha. It's not a Hilchas Staka diga halacha. That's a very important thing. Rav Moshe keeps on saying, you can't use Maisa money for the Yisachar Zvulun. This is not a Hilchas Staka. This is a Hilchas Talmud Torah. It works, it's not a Hilchas Staka. Another thing Rav Moshe discusses, does it have to be 50-50? What if they say 80-20 or 90-10? You want to do it a little bit differently. So Rav Moshe says, it could be it's not Pasha, you could do it that way. He says, why? Because if Zvulun's going to tell Yisachar that I'm willing to make a deal with you, but I want more than 50% of you learning. I want 60% of you learning. I want 80% of you learning. It's showing a lack of chshivas for his learning. So 50% of my money is worth 80% of your Torah? That doesn't seem fair. And he says, even if Yisachar does it in the reverse, he says, I'll give you 50% of my Torah, just give me 10% of your money. It's showing a bizarre, Rav Moshe says, in hachzakas haTorah. I don't like that either. What Zvulun's doing is very important too. He's being machzik Torah. You can't belittle what Zvulun's doing. So it could be there's an Indian, a bizoyan over here. He wasn't so comfortable with that. What if somebody's super wealthy? He cuts a deal with the Yisachar Zvulun. He makes $10 million a year. And this guy learns 4 hours. No, he's a real Yisachar, but he makes an inordinate amount of money. So is that fair? Could a person do Yisachar Zvulun with many people at the same time? Could he have 10 Yisachar Zvuluns going? If it's always a 50-50 deal, so I give you 50-50, I give you 50% of what's left over, and 50% of what's left over, you need a Jewish accountant already to make this work. I'm not sure how, but either way, these are all things we should discuss in this tshuva. Do you need a shtar? Is it chal, bepeh, edim, chayshem mishpat? But the theme is, this is not hilchas staka. These are, it's a hilchas contracts. This is a real deal that two people have a right to get together and to do. Another interesting thing that Ramesha talks about in the tshuva, and that is, how does Yisachar Zvulun work? So Yisachar learns Torah. He has a deal with Zvulun. As a result, Zvulun gets schar in Yisachar's learning. Is the pshat Chakira 101? Is the pshat that Zvulun takes half of Yisachar's schar? So Yisachar learned 12 hours. He's only going to get schar for 6 because the other 6 hours Zvulun's going to get, or Yisachar's going to get what he got. He learned 12 hours. He's going to get 12 hours. But Hashem has a lot of schar. In addition to the 12 hours of schar that Yisachar's going to get, Zvulun's also going to get schar. Is Zvulun taking Yisachar's, is Yisachar losing or is he not losing? Says Rav Moshe, I have a raya from the Shitas Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Ben Yeruchim says, Ramah said, based on this Gemara Masechta Soita, that La'achar HaMaisa, if Yisachar already learned, he can't sell his Torah anymore. It's already too late. Koidim HaMaisa, you could do this deal, but once he learned already, it's too late. You can't do it. What if he would do it? Says Ben Yeruchim, it doesn't work. However, Yisachar is going to lose his chelik. So the chelik that Yisachar was supposed to give Zvulun, Yisachar is going to lose. Zvulun, however, is not going to get it. Says Rav Moshe, if the way that Yisachar Zvulun works is Yisachar gives away from his, so then this halacha makes sense. Where Ben Yeruchim is saying is that even though it doesn't work once Yisachar already learned to the extent that Zvulun can get it, but it works l'chatzot. At least what Yisachar is supposed to lose, he's going to lose. But if the way it works is that in addition to Yisachar's schar, Zvulun also gets schar, so this whole Rabbeinu Yeruchim doesn't make sense. So Rav Moshe brings a raya from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. I'll tell you two nice things in Drush that support this as well. Number one, smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar lo'elecha. Pasuk of Azayis HaBracha, l'zvulun omar, smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha. So Rashi brings a chumash, why is Zvulun mentioned before Yisachar? So Rashi says, very simply, ain't kemachin Torah, because Zvulun is the one who initiates it. Without Zvulun, you can't have a Yisachar. Thus, it says, first smach Zvulun, and afterwards it says Yisachar b'elecha. But there's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the reason that Zvulun is mentioned first is because, think about the partnership for a second. Who's the more noble of the two partners? Zvulun is giving away Olam Haza for Olam Haba. Yisachar is giving away Olam Haba for Olam Haza. From Zvulun's perspective, I'm going to give away X amount of dollars, I give away $50,000 a year in exchange for a Koyl Yungaman, adopt a Koyl, someone sitting and learning from me all day. Yisachar is saying, I'm going to give away half my Torah, all my Amelas, all my Ruchnias for $50,000. Who's the more noble partner? Zvulun. He's giving away Olam Haza for Olam Haba. Therefore, in the partnership, Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha. Yisachar is more noble. He sits and learns. Zvulun goes to work. But as far as this deal goes, it's Zvulun who's actually the more chashuv of the two, and therefore Zvulun's mentioned first. That is only true if Yisachar is giving something away. But if Yisachar is really not giving anything away, Yisachar is going to get his full schar. He's not giving it. He's just being mezak with Zvulun. He's giving Zvulun an opportunity to also get some schar. Then the whole cheshbon of the Chassam Sofer is not a cheshbon. Another Chassam Sofer that I've heard over the years, and that is the last Mishnah. If you ever go to a Siyam, a Shisha Sidri Mishnah, so Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchol Shaya Lomis, right? Every person is going to get 310 worlds. Shaya Lomis, because it says Lahanchol Oyave Shai or Yesh. Shai is Bigamatria 310. Says the Chassam Sofer, why is it year that Tzadik is going to get 310 Lomis? Zok the Chassam Sofer, because there's 613 mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, the Eraisa. There's an additional 7 mitzvahs, the Rabbanim. 613 plus 10 is 620. A Yid can't just sit and learn Torah and do mitzvahs by himself. He needs to have a Zvulun backing him. So you take the 620, you divide it between Yisachar and Zvulun, you're left with 310. So it's Shaya Lomo is connected to 310 mitzvahs that ultimately he's going to get Tzchai. It's the Psalm Soifa Lushitasoi. Like Ramesha points out in the Tshuva Igros Moshe, that's the only way it works. There's no time. I heard years ago a beautiful Tshuva from my father's Rav, Yosef Arantz Tishlita, said over a tshuva from the Meshiv Davar, from the Netziv. The tshuva was apparently to a Yid in Tveria who got scammed. The story is that there was a very wealthy person who came to a shtetl and they told him, there's a very chashuv tzaddik who lives in the shtetl. So he goes, he meets with the tzaddik, and the tzaddik is telling him how he needs money, and the usher, the Yid, is telling him how he needs chusim. So they say, let's make a deal. We have a great opportunity. Long story short, the tzaddik agreed to sell half his Olam Haba to this Yid for a very large amount of money. The Yid didn't have all the money on him. He gave him a deposit of 50% of what they agreed to. It was 22,000 ruble. That was the amount. So he gave him 11,000 ruble, and they worked out a payment plan where he was going to give him the latter half of the 11,000 ruble. So he was very happy with the deal he just did. He's on his way back, he goes to another shtetl. He hears about another tzaddik. So he goes to the tzaddik and he tells the tzaddik, you heard about the deal that I just did? He tells him about a story. He goes, that Yid? You know who that guy is? That guy's a bad guy. He's an imposter. Horrible deals. He goes running back to this Yid. He says, I heard I just got, what are you doing? No, I don't understand. You owe me, bottom line is the Shaila ended up on the Meshiv Dover, on the Netziv's desk, and this was the Shaila that Netziv was asked. What are you supposed to do? Does the Asher owe him another 11,000 ruble? Does he have a schus? Could he be there to get the 11,000 ruble back? How do we know that what this Yid said about the other Yid is Amos? He said he got it b'chaloyim. He did a Shailas Chaloyim, and the Chaloyim, they told him, nice twist and turn in the story. He was told in a Chaloyim, in a dream no less, that this Yid is a bad Yid. So the Netziv has a long tshuva. Could you sell your Yolam Haba? Etc. Gets into all the different shailas of Yisachar Zvulun. It's a beautiful tshuva. It's Meshiv Dover Chelak Gimel Simen Yudal. But I'll just read you the first few lines of the tshuva. Reishis Dover. The first thing that comes to mind is that this usher is such a shrewd businessman. He should have realized that this deal was dead on arrival. Because if you sit down with a yid who claims to be a graced tzaddik, and for 22,000 ruble he's willing to give away his olam haba, ein lecha vayizev vayivez Esav as a b'chayra gedoyla mizu. And if Esav sold his b'chayra, and the Torah was made on him, that it was a bezoyin for the b'chayra, and Esav goes down in infamy for the deal that he did with Yaakov, how could this shrewd businessman have not seen right through this imposter? How could he have not realized that by him agreeing to sell his olam haba, that he's a bad guy, that he gets into the all the halacha, but either way, I ain't shown.